Good day, friends. At the present time, we are studying together the first epistle of John, which deals with fellowship with God who is light, fellowship with God who is righteous, and fellowship with God who is love. You see, life, the joy of life, is fellowship. Not money, not something that man does, but this fellowship, this intimacy of fellowship one with another. This is the joy of life. And the marvelous thing is, God has made us that way. Why? Because he wants your fellowship and my fellowship. But how can we have fellowship with a God who is light? So we come to the passage, 1 John chapter 1, verse 5, which we were discussing in our last lesson. This then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. This speaks of God in his absolute holiness. But Mr. Mitchell, how can we have fellowship with God who is absolute in holiness? Listen. He has come out into the light. What for? That you and I can come and have fellowship with God who is light. You see, in the Old Testament, under the Mosaic economy, God was shut out from Israel. He was hidden behind thick darkness, according to Exodus 19 and 20. See, the law doesn't bring you into the presence of God. The law of Moses makes demands. The law of Moses tells you what you should be. But you say, I can't keep it. I can't do what the law of Moses declares. I try and I fail. Yes, friend, and the wages of sin is death. And we're in the kingdom of darkness. But God has come out into the light. And he has made it possible through Jesus Christ for you and me to be translated out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of God's blessed Son. You find that in Colossians chapter 1, verse 13. And then you know that our Savior could say in John 8, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. That's verse 12 of that chapter. This to me is an astounding thing, that a holy God, one who is absolute in holiness, has made it possible for you and me to be cleansed from sin, to be delivered from death, and to be fitted for his presence. And the thing that God yearns for, the thing God wants more than anything in the world, is your fellowship. See, friend, just let me talk to you for a moment. God created all things by the word of his mouth. As the 8th Psalm says, the heavens are the work of his fingers. And according to Colossians chapter 1 and Hebrews chapter 1, verse 3, it says that he upholds all things by the word of his power. By him all things are held together. He just speaks and it's done. But the thing he yearns for is not the creation of a universe. It's not the upholding of all things by the word of his power. What he wants is your fellowship. He wants you. He wants your love. He wants your devotion. See, friend, there's nothing that delights the heart of God more than for one who has accepted Christ as his Savior to come right into his very presence. I know I'm spending time on this, but this is the greatest need that I know of among God's people, even in America, with all that we have. We know so little of an intimate fellowship, communion with God. You see, well, Mr. Mitchell, that's for saints. No, friend. If you belong to the Savior, you are a saint. I didn't say you were saintly. Saintliness depends upon your walking in fellowship with God. But we're saints by the calling of God. As Romans 1, you remember verse 7 says, we're the called of God, beloved of God, called saints. We become members of his family. We're his children, objects of his love. And doesn't the Father want the fellowship and the love of his children? He wants that more than anything in the world. It's a sad father and a sad child where the father is so occupied with everything under heaven but his own child. He misses the love for the child, and the child misses the love and the care of the father. And you know, the prophet said, a mother may forget her child, But God says, I will never forget you. This is what he wants. Now, the question of course is raised, how can we know when we're in fellowship with God? Listen, if you got your Bibles there, listen to what it says. In verse 6, if we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. You'll notice three times in these verses he said, verse 6, if we say, in verse 8, if we say, in verse 10, if we say. If you go down to chapter 2, in verse 4, he that saith. In verse 6, he that saith. In verse 9, he that saith. Here we have the test of profession. There are a great many people who make a great boast of profession and know practically nothing of a life in Christ. You see, friend, when you go back to the early church, and even today, the most astounding thing in the world today, are not miracles. People want to see the spectacular. God is not interested in the spectacular. The thing that God wants to see are transformed lives. What the world sees and wants to see are transformed lives. This is a much greater miracle than any physical miracle you can think of. Even the stilling of storms and the raising of the dead and the cleansing of lepers and the casting out of demons. You see, that's amazing, yeah? Those are the credentials of our Savior when he came. The credentials of his Messiahship. But the thing that God wants today are not those kind of miracles. I'm not opposed to them, mark you. The great miracle is the transformation of a sinner, a child of wrath, into a child of God. And the thing that caused the great turmoil in Ephesus in Acts chapter 20 was transformed lives. It's what the world needs to see today. But how can I live a consistent, transformed life? Well, God has made provision for that. That's fellowship. You see, when you walk in fellowship with God, you're spirit-filled. Oh, but sir, if I'm spirit-filled, I'll do tremendous things, will you? What kind of things will you do? My friend, there's no higher experience for a Christian than to walk in fellowship with our Heavenly Father, with God who is light. There's nothing in all the universe that's higher than fellowship. Intimate fellowship with God, who is light. It's what God wants. This is what he craves, if I can use that term. So John, when he writes, he gives the test of profession. Let's take the first one in verse 6. If we say that we have fellowship with him who is light, and we walk in darkness, we're liars. Now John doesn't bandy words. We lie, and we do not the truth. You can't walk in fellowship with God who is light and be in darkness. It's an impossibility. These are two different spheres. I'm either in the dark or I'm in the light. I'm either a child of God or I'm a child of wrath. I'm either in the kingdom of darkness or in the kingdom of light. See, John, there's no gray matter with John. It's either light or darkness. It's either life or death. And so on. There's no gray matter. You can't have one foot in one and one foot in the other. It's where we live. If I say that I'm in fellowship with God who is light, where will I walk then? I will walk in the light. I will walk in the light. For me to say that I'm a child of God, that I'm in the kingdom of light, and walk in darkness, it's absolutely inconsistent. Now, he's not talking about the fact that you fail God. He's talking about a position here. You are either in the light or you are in darkness. You are either saved or lost. You're either righteous in Christ or you're dead in trespasses and sins. You're either a child of God or a child of wrath. And remember what I've been saying. God, who was absolute in holiness, has come out in the light. So you and I can come to Him. The door is wide open. The door is wide open for sinners to be transformed into the children of God. The door is wide open for His children to have fellowship with Him. Which leads me, of course, to the next verse. If we walk in the light, as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanseth us from all sin. You see. Now, if we are walking in fellowship with God who is light, what will be our experience? Be fellowship with God. Now, if we walk in the light, as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanseth us from all sin. Now, it does not say here how we walk. He's talking about where we walk. I can't be in the kingdom of light and walk in the kingdom of darkness. It's impossible. And notice that the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses from sin. Who? Those who are walking in the light. Where else can a Christian walk? He's been translated into the kingdom of light. Where else then can he walk? But in the light. And as a child of God walks in the light, and he fails God, what then? Being in the light, the Spirit of God will reveal to him his sinfulness, what he's doing. And when we come to the ninth verse, he gives you the provision for restoration. But what I'm trying to get to your heart is this. If we walk in the light as he is in the light. And my friend, let me emphasize it. If you're in Christ, you're always in the light. You're always in the light. You can't be any other place but in the light. I repeat it. He's not talking about how we walk. When we get to the next chapter, he has something to say about that. But he's laying a foundation. Where are we? God is light. And if I'm to have fellowship with God, who is light, then I must live in the kingdom of light. And that's where he's translated us. To have fellowship. Intimate fellowship with Him. Now listen to the verse again. Verse 7, if we walk in the light, as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. Where do Christians get their fellowship? In the world? No. Even a stumbling Christian, a failing Christian, where does he have his fellowship? With other believers. Why? Because we're in the light. We're never in darkness. See, friend, you know, at one time, at our prayer meeting in church at one time where I was the pastor, at the end of prayer meeting on Wednesday night, we'd had quite a season of prayer, we had a little Bible study, encouraging our hearts in the Savior. And when I came out to the back of the hall, a young man who was there said to me, in fact, he pulled a cigarette out and we started to light it. And I said, if you please, I would prefer if you wait until you got outside the building before you light up your cigarette. He said, well, Mitchell, he said to me, first of all, he said, you know, was Miss So-and-so here tonight? And I said, no. And by the way, I was very glad she wasn't there. He said, you know where I was tonight, Mitchell? I said, where? I was in this prayer meeting, and it was hell to me. Oh, I said, you know, it was heaven to me. You see, he belonged to the kingdom of darkness. He wasn't saved. He knew nothing about the Savior. Didn't care about the Savior. When I tried to talk to him, he didn't want to hear me talk about the Savior. He went out. What made the difference? Here were a group of people having fellowship with each other because they were all in right relationship with God. Now, we weren't perfect people. We are imperfect. All of us have frailties and possible failures, but we had fellowship one with another. We prayed for each other. We prayed for some who were going through very, very serious times of trouble and affliction, failure, weaknesses. But there was one thing that knit us together. We were children of one who is God. And this is what he means in verse 7. If we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. In spite of our frailty, we had fellowship one with another. That's why the writer of Hebrews in chapter 10, you remember, speaks of the fact, neglect not the assembling of yourselves together as the manner of some is, but so much the more as you see the day approaching. Well, Mr. Mitchell, I don't know of any church I can go to. I find churches and, were you looking for a perfect church on earth? You won't find it. You won't find any local assembly that's perfect. But we can have fellowship one with another. And even if we do fail God, the ground for cleansing is still the same. The blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, keeps on cleansing us from all sin. This is the divine provision, friend. It's a wonderful thing. It's a wonderful thing that all believers are at all times in the light. That's where we live. That's where we walk. Now, if I'm in the kingdom of darkness and do things, I'm not convicted of my sin. I don't need cleansing. I don't want cleansing. I see no need for it if I'm an unsaved man or an unsaved woman. But see, I'm a child of God, and my God is light. So I'm living in the kingdom of light in spite of my frailty. And the blood of Jesus Christ, if I may give the literal here, keeps on keeping me clean in the presence of God. But what about this fellowship? So you have from verses 8 through 10, we have the provision made for this fellowship. Now he goes on to say in verse 8, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. Say, the question is raised in verse 8. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. By the way, we don't deceive anybody else. We don't say we're sinless. For a man to say that he's sinless, that he has no sin, we deceive ourselves. And you can't deceive you can't deceive the other fellow either, by the way. It's very obvious that all of us Christians fail God. And by the way, this is the trouble when we try to talk to men about the Savior, talk to people about the loveliness of Christ and the provision he's made for men and women to be saved. They'll point at some Christian who fails God. And I generally say, yes, but I'm not talking about them. I'm talking about a Savior who is absolutely holy and righteous. And I generally ask the question, do you find any fault with Jesus? They change the subject. Amazing thing, even the enemies of Christ can't find any fault with him. That's why he could, as I said a while ago, that's why he could say to his enemies in John 8:46, which one of you convinceth me of sin? For us to say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. We're not saying we're sinless. What we're saying is we're living in the kingdom of light, and God has made provision for our fellowship while we walk and live in the kingdom of light. Now, in verses 9 and 10, we have the wonderful provision for restored fellowship. For I read in verse 9, if we confess our sins, being in the kingdom of light, we realize what we've done. Our fellowship is broken and we know it. But what shall I do? If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. What is my responsibility as a Christian? I'm to confess my sins. Name it. Don't get down at your bedside at night and say, dear Lord, forgive me of all my failures and sins today. Good night. No. That's not confession. Name the very thing you've done. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and he's righteous to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. My, what a wonderful thing. My responsibility is to confess my sin. God's responsibility is to forgive me and to cleanse me from all unrighteousness. Isn't this a marvelous provision God has made for us? Do you mean that my fellowship with God is immediately restored the moment I confess my sin? Yes. If you mean business, now I know, don't use this verse as a kind of a wand whereby you quote this verse, well, if I confess my sins, God will forgive me. And there's no sense of guilt, no sense of being sorry for it. Confession carries with it the fact that you have broken your fellowship with your Savior. Confession of the fact that you have failed God. That you've grieved the Spirit of God. You've grieved the heart of God. It's got to be real. But I'll guarantee to you, my friend, if it's real, God will forgive you. God will cleanse you from all unrighteousness. And let me close today by suggesting, if I'm talking to anyone today, any Christian, and you've been out of fellowship with God maybe for years, I don't know how long, or even just since today or yesterday, the moment you sin, confess your sin. Remember, he's touched with the feeling of your infirmities, and he's praying for you. We'll take this up in our next lesson, but I want today for you to have restored fellowship. So today, you can have a real time of intimate fellowship with the Savior. And may you enjoy him for himself today. Now the Lord bless you. And may you give the Lord himself great joy, because you've come to him in real confession that you want his fellowship. Remember, he wants yours. The Lord bless you.